15 months of fighting. This is the scene inside the dining hall of the Park Hotel in Netanya, Israel, after a Palestinian blew himself up as guests gathered for a Passover Seder, a ritual evening meal ushering in the Jewish holiday. Police say the bomber, carrying a large bag of explosives, ran toward the crowded dining hall after managing to get past the security guard at the hotel entrance. A bomb tore through the ground floor, blowing out walls and plunging the lobby into darkness. Israel is determining how to respond. Presented a peace proposal at the Arab Summit in Beirut that offers the Jewish state normal relations with the Arab world in exchange for a complete withdrawal from territories occupied in the 1967 Another day of bloodshed in the Middle East. The deaths come as Israel launches its biggest military offensive since the invasion of Lebanon.
Do you expect to spend the Palestinian territories?
That is like the wind. You never know here. What's going to blow in four directions at once.
Most of the territories which we have conquered, not liberated, were promised to be given by God Almighty to Moses. Even so, and even if the world was a just war, we had to do it. We would hold them as a deposit. Even for 500 years.
As a deposit?
As a deposit. And we are ready to give it back to the Arab neighbor on the other side for contractual peace agreement.
Look, I don't think that we are free of mistakes. I think right now the problem is rather emotional than territorial, rather psychological than logical. Two angry people that cannot hear each other anymore. The Middle East is full of tongues and short of ears.
Palestinians will be able to...
So then you get the green light from the inside, you go in, a few meters, there's a Palestinian car. Today, 1 week ago, there was no Palestinian car.
There were Israeli cars.
Okay, let's start
it's to also a dog kind of car, you know.
How far are we from here to Ramallah?
By car, it's 10 minutes, but in the head, it's very far.
So you will take us to the border, yes?
I will come with you to the border.
You cannot go to the other side, no?
I don't want to go to the other side.
What really happened was that since 67, the world developed an ambivalent approach to the way the conflict should be solved. Namely, the world agreed with the Israelis about procedures. It should be solved around the negotiating table. But the same world agreed with the Palestinians about the substance. The solution should be very close to the Palestinian demands.
Because Israel in the narrowest point is 15 kilometers wide, a very small number of forests can cut Israel into two. Once you put settlements in strategic places, you control the area, you can put forces there and prevent the Palestinians from cutting Israel into two.
There is the red line of the existence of the country. Because a government's first obligation, its first and its primary obligation, is to defend its citizens. And today, with the kind of terror that we have that is not daily, it's hourly, and so far has claimed in the last year and a half the lives on a per capita basis of 8 times the number of victims that were lost in the World Trade Center. Now just think of that 8 times. It's like again and again and again and again and on and on and on. And it happens all the time. Well, life becomes unbearable.
On the image of the screens, it looks as if, of course, the Israel is the strong and the Palestinian is the weak. But if you would open the zoom to cover the whole area from Marrakesh to Bangladesh, you would end up that Israel is the isolated entity, the outpost of the Western civilization in this area. Whoa!
They're not going to be shooting until we finish here. I mean, Hannah is supposed to arrange the crossing at the checkpoint and the vehicles there.
Rita told them to stay with in our chambers.
Right now, it's more important that we pass the border, because if we don't pass the border, we cannot shoot.
We're waiting for the UN envoy to talk to the Israeli commander on the DCO, and then the Israeli commander is going to allow us to go to the middle, and the Palestinian commander is going to allow the Palestinian vehicles to go to the other middle, and hopefully we're going to meet in the other middle.
Yes.
You don't film any soldiers now, okay? These are
There is no business. We are close in prison.
روحوا على كف وما يعني بأمنش إنه الواحد يروح مثلا طيب أو كذا أو شيء. أثر على شعوري كفلسطيني. كل إنسان بحب الحرية. يعني هلا أحبس قفص في عصفور في قفص وما بيصدق وأنت تفتح الباب القفص وتطير.
No, we live in Jerusalem, but we're living in Beer Sheva right now because we are studying there.
And what are you doing now?
Well, we just came to eat lunch and then go home. It's hard. Sometimes we have to go around because we can't pass, even if we have the blue IDs.
A soldier the other day yelled at me and said that you have to go back. I tried to argue, thinking that I could argue. I have a Jerusalem ID, let me go. And he was, go to hell, I don't care. Where is your house? You have to go back. I was telling him that my house is over there. And I thought that I still could argue. But when they jumped from the petrol, from the jeep, and hanging their guns toward my face, I was like, God, they are really mad, those guys. I mean, you never know. It could be like this. So we are scared sometimes.
This region is condemned to join in the world, the new world, because the Arabs are beginning to learn that it is not poverty that creates terror. It is terror that creates poverty. They are the victims of their own mistakes.
For many years, the Palestinians enjoyed the moral high ground as a result of having the cause that enjoys the support of the international community. And here, at the end of the corridor of Madrid and Oslo, came my government, and for the first time in the history of the conflict, an Israeli government said loud and clear that we are ready to contemplate solving it well within the domain that is agreed by the world as the domain where solution should be found. And suddenly it ended up that Arafat is not there. So that in a way it put a question mark in retrospect, in hindsight, about was he really there all along the way?
As I told here, you have to be here in Ramallah. And if there is any time that the president is have nothing, no, we can call you. As you know, they are very busy these days. The schedule is full. There is an Arab summit in Beirut.
This is the road the tanks used to occupy Ramallah 2 weeks ago.
The Palestinian leader Yasser Arafat has been confined for months.
President Arafat to attend the meeting. We're still not sure, and we hope that the Arab summit will be held in the presence of President Arafat.
A Palestinian militant provoking Ariel Sharon again tonight. Another deadly attack. A gunman on a shooting spree.
Civilians, children, babies.
Sharon is preparing for something new. Well, tell him I am waiting for him. With this small and beautiful baby.
With these are the equivalent of movie posters, rock stars.
These guys are heroes.
Look at that.
She's cute.
She was the first woman to blow herself up, right in the heart of the Israeli land.
21, 22, something like
that.
He plays with people. Once he's your friend, the next day he's friends of somebody else, and he's not loyal to no one. Nowhere and no one.
He was in Jordan, turned it into a terror factory, was booted out, went to Lebanon, turned that into a terror factory, was booted out, came here, turned this into a terror factory. And that's what this man is about.
Arafat himself, for him, it's a new experience to try and handle the husbandry of a state. He was a revolutionary, you know. And for a revolutionary leader to become a political leader is quite a difficult conversion.
What are we supposed to do? Wait here or what? Wait for them? It's ridiculous. There's always something. Look at the rain.
Yeah.
What's that?
Do you want to have him come here, maybe?
عندنا محل ورد، هاي المحل زي ما انت شايف فاضي مسكرين محسوم كلندي، لا عارفين نروح ولا عارفين نيجي، حتى بدخلوش قال الا اكل ولبن. طب ما احنا بس عايشين على الاكل واللبن والخبز، احنا بدنا ندخل ورد وبدنا نعيش حياتنا يعني.
One of the Arab poets that I admire is dead already, 2 years' time. A Syrian, not necessarily pro-Israeli, and his name is Kabani. He says, the time has come that Arabs will go for a real fight of liberation. He says, we have to liberate ourselves from the greatest empire, which is like a yoke on our shoulders. And what is the empire? The empire of words, of poetry. He says, for 2,000 years, we are incapable to use the language properly. Even when you look at the Arab letters, they look like an ornament because the letter and the word supposed to make life more beautiful, easier, understand. And why should you be so small on every word, on every... Mm-hmm. It's a different mentality.
Well, if we're negotiating and you say it costs $10 and I say I'll give you $2 and we end up at $6, what do they call that?
This is a bazaar. But if you want to negotiate and you ask for my advice, I would say, A, be careful never to offer. Ask and wait until they will demand something. Uh-huh. Namely, you have to respond, not to initiate. In the negotiation, build a situation.
Is it about the conflict? Is it about Arafat?
It will be about Arafat if he makes it about Arafat. Mm. If he comes out as a strong individual with character, it will be about. If he sits there like this and talks about the same thing he says to all the news people, I don't know that we can go very far with it.
Secondly, what is so important. Try not to win too much. If you win points, you may lose your partner. And if you don't need something, don't insist. If it's not terribly important for you.
Is there a way we could get an hour today? Just an hour? 1 hour? Today, like in the next few hours? 1 hour. Like 1 hour, and that's all I can do because I can't guarantee that we come back next Monday or Tuesday.
I would see.
1 hour.
We create a new people, and instead of being refugees, to be fighters.
We will never go back. We will never leave the peace process, and we will never go back to violence and confrontation. No return to confrontation and violence.
Who knows? If they will elect me, I will be the president again. Of this Palestinian state. If not, I would like to return back to work as a civil engineer.
He differs from Hamas in that the Hamas say in Arabic and in English that their goal is the destruction of Israel. Arafat says that only in Arabic. And in English, he talks about peace, he talks about reconciliation and so on, but he's lying. Arafat's a great liar.
We have to pay attention to the prestige of the other people. Yeah. In negotiation, you can get from Arafat by paying him respect. much more than by arguing.
Much more than what?
By arguing with him.
Yeah.
I mean, and we don't have the patience to do so.
No. No.
Fine.
So I said, give me an hour before he goes to Beirut tonight. Just 1 hour. I don't believe anybody around here.
Yes.
He said to me, if he doesn't go to Beirut, that's not a problem. If he does go, I'll still try to make it happen. But that means, like...
Israeli Prime Minister Ariel Sharon has said that Yasser Arafat will not be allowed to attend tomorrow's crucial Arab summit unless America accepts that Israel has a right.
Matan efsharut liYisrael lishkol et efsharut chazarato hena b'mikre u'be'adro yu kan pu'lot terror.
How's Oliver Stone?
Easier.
Hello.
How's everyone?
Hello.
Everything happens at once.
Where are you going with this?
Demonstration, something like that.
A little thing like that.
You see you later?
Tonight, huh?
Yes. Yeah.
I hope so, because you know our man is exhausted. He's very tired.
Okay.
We will decide and see. He's not in his best mood.
What should I do? I know.
But don't
worry.
Not tonight. هذه الحرب التي أعلنت علينا.
They tried to kill her husband and they shot the tank, so she was killed with her children. Because he's from Hamas.
They started with 2-3 houses and then become a city.
And who lives there?
Jews.
And this is in Ramallah.
To surround Ramallah?
Surround all the Palestinian cities.
And then they bring the artillery?
What?
They bring artillery up there?
Yeah, yeah. There are tanks, helicopters.
Why do they do that?
To gain the
هم الذي جاءوا إلى أرضنا واحتلوا أرضنا وبضربوا فينا بالطائرات الآن وبضربوا فينا بالدبابات وبالصواريخ وبالتالي من حقنا أن ندافع عن
أنفسنا
ماذا فعلت أمريكا؟
What did America do?
في أفغانستان.
In Afghanistan.
الدول الأوروبية كلها ألم تثر على الاستعمار الهتلري النازي وكليلة جاء أحد إلى بيتك
If someone came to your house
وأراد أن يأخذ بيتك ويقتل أبنائك ماذا تفعل؟
Wanted to take your house and kill your children, what would you do?
What do you do?
Same thing you're doing. Same thing.
ذات الشيء مثل ما أنت عم تعمله.
Except the question I would have then, he does not want to negotiate. There's no negotiation possible with the Israelis. Is that correct?
السلطة الفلسطينية لها 10 سنوات تتفاوض مع الإسرائيليين.
The Palestinian Authority has been negotiating for 10 years.
الشعب الفلسطيني الآن كله يائس من المفاوضات.
They are desperate.
To get somebody to blow up a bus full of children or a building full of innocent civilians, you have to grind it into their minds. You have to wash their brains and tell them there is a higher cause out there. It's religious, ethnic, racial, whatever. And for that higher cause, you can disregard all the normal rules of morality.
Where do they get their recruits, the young martyrs who are willing to die? I see the posters all over. Where do they come from?
ونحن في الجناح السياسي لا علاقة لنا بذلك. الجناح العسكري هو الذي يعرف.
It's the military arm of the Hamas which handles this. We represent the political part of Hamas.
Does he consider Arafat weak?
هو رئيس للشعب الفلسطيني.
He's the president of the Palestinian people.
وإحنا مع عرفات ضد الحصار الإسرائيلي.
إلو
ولا الشعب الفلسطيني كذلك.
We're with him against the occupation.
Wait a second. They're with him, but they're not, because if Mr. Arafat theoretically says there's a ceasefire tomorrow, and Hamas blows up 3 or 4 places, they will ruin that ceasefire. And that's happened before.
حماس تتحرك وفي مصلحة الشعب الفلسطيني.
To the interest of the Palestinian people.
أهلا وسهلا.
You say he wouldn't shake your hand on the way out because why?
Because he was going to pray.
What do you think of that as a woman, Westernized woman?
Lebanese Christian. It's just stupid. It's a stupid attitude.
You don't feel insulted or hurt. You're used to that.
I'm not used to that. No, it's not very often that you meet a man, a Middle Eastern man, that doesn't want to shake your hand. It's I've never, like, it was just the first time ever.
So this man is fairly fanatic. He's fairly radical. And he gave us a lot of, you know, official BS, a lot of official lines.
This is a total Munoz situation.
Why?
Because this crew here with us, and on the other table, the whole ministries and the whole cabinet from
big fellow on the far right.
This is Dr. Saber.
Our enemy, they are not a bunch of pious people, Arafat, and they are nationalists, they have the rights.
Nice.
I think that Mr. Barak pushed them to the corner.
I felt it, that somehow in Camp David we came on one hand the closest we had ever been to achieving something, but on the other hand it became a moment of truth where not as a result of trick to drag Arafat into a trap, but as a result of a bona fide effort to try to put an end to the conflict, we ended up unmasking a man that doesn't have the character to make the kind of decisions that are needed for major peace.
The Israelis, represented by Ehud Barak, refused to enable them to get to establish their government in East Jerusalem, alongside our government on the western side of Jerusalem.
The first international personality met with Arafat was myself. He told me, how I can accept this offer? The Arab world, the Muslim world, will kill me. He will consider me a traitor because I have agreed that Israel will have the sovereignty of the Muslim holy places.
He refused even to take it as a basis for negotiation. This is the point, not the fact that we could not reach an agreement.
I think that we may have done a mistake by asking him to give up his dreams. When Barak, for example, asked Arafat that he will declare, I don't have any more claims, the negotiation fell down. Because for Arafat to say that he doesn't have any more claims means he has to forget the refugees, he has to compromise on Jerusalem. He will never do it. Let him dream. You don't have to purchase dreams, and clearly not to pay for them too much.
This is a part of this long march to our capital, Palestine, Jerusalem.
This is the compound.
No.
Where are you from?
I think that we should wait.
He said that we should wait, right?
No, I think we should go back to the hotel.
Yeah. Hold on 1 second.
The real challenge is not what will happen between us. It's our understanding that we will have to turn each one of us back to his own people to convince them about the price of and the pains that comes with a real decision. We were on the fourth floor. I told him it's like both of us walking to the end and jump where I hold your parachute and you hold mine.
Since Barak and Arafat split in Camp David, some weeks later, the Palestinian terrorist activity started and we are starting to responding. So now we are in this situation.
We wait and wait for a long time, from 40 days till now, waiting for the United Nations, but nothing had been done.
On the policy of violence, Arafat told the General Assembly he had come with an olive branch in one hand, a pistol in the other.
بس قرارنا احنا هنا في وسط الامعر وعايشين من الامعر والعيشه اللي احنا عايشينها يعني من بعد ما عبرت علينا اسرائيل اخربت بيتنا ما خلتناش يعني نصير من الاوادم يعني هذا شارون يعني سوى اشي مش مظبوط فينا يعني شو بده مننا شارون الكلب هذا كلب حيوان يعني حياتنا دمرها دورنا عبروا عليهم اخذوا ذهبنا العفش خربوه سياراتنا كسروها في وسط باب دورنا يعني دورنا هدموها علينا يعني شو بدها مننا يعني شو اسود من هيك بدنا نبقى حياتنا جزلنا مش حدا بروح على الشغل ما بقدروش يروحوا ولا يجوا يعني حياتنا صعبة لآخر درجة يعني من مرة فيش حدا بكنا الدول العربية ولا يسأل فينا مرة مسأل فينا يعني ولادنا هذول صغار هذول شو حياتهم هذول
Al-Aqsa Martyr Brigade, and what they do is that they started their operations, their guerrilla operations, by shooting at settlers, and then it evolved into bombings.
What's his name?
I know his nickname. It's Abu Qasr. Abu Qasr. And we don't know his real name, obviously. They're making sure that we're not followed.
Just be alert.
They'll come one by one.
He's there, you know.
And he's Libyan.
Do you speak English?
Yes.
Good. That'll be easier for us.
And easier for us.
Okay, that's why, but let's put him close to it.
Could you just state for us the goals of your brigade, the objectives?
You know, first of all, you know, we considered ourselves as the Palestinian freedom fighters. And we are fighting for our freedom and for the liberation of Palestine. Our goals is to achieve, you know, as part of Fatah movement, it's to achieve the implementation of the international community resolutions and to have our independent state on the 4th of June occupied area 1967 and Jerusalem as its capital, and the right of return for the Palestinian refugees.
A little slower.
This is what we are fighting for. Mm-hmm. We didn't take any orders from Yasser Arafat for what we are doing. We are taking the orders from the Israeli side. Yes. As much as they are doing their aggression against the Palestinian people and the humiliated Palestinian people and trying to attack our areas and to kill our people, from this side we are receiving our orders to respond.
And if Arafat told you, stand down, do not create any actions in the next period, if he told you that, what would you do?
Of course, we accept it. We are committed to what Arafat is saying. But when they came into our areas, in Ramallah, for example, or Tul Karim, or Jenin, or Nablus, what you expected from us to do? It's just watching them, to show them, and to watch them while they are killing our people and demolishing our houses and arrested our people? We cannot. Then we have to respond.
Have you met him recently? Yes, here.
With the president?
Yes.
No.
Have you met him at all?
I met him in the bus.
مثل ما انا قلت انه جنرالاتنا الجدد اطفالنا اشبالنا زهراتنا سميتهم الجنرالات الجدد.
You seem all very like young people.
Palestine is young people. Mm-hmm. 70% of Palestinians is under the age of 35.
I've been told, I don't know if it's true, that many of the weapons that you get come from the Israelis.
100%. We got last time, you know, 6 months ago, around 60 M16s and around, you know, 5 million bullets from the security guard of Sharon.
For money?
Yes, we pay money. He gave us 60 M16.
They're doing it for money, not for...
He is in jail now. And ask the Israelis. He is in the Israeli jail, and his investigation. We bought from him 60 M16s and 5 million bullets.
You bought 16 M16s?
60.
60 M16s and...
Yeah. Five million bullets.
5 million bullets?
Yes.
From a security guard for Sharon?
Yes.
Who is now in jail?
Who is now in jail? Money.
Yeah. If
we have enough money, we can buy a tank. Yes, I'm serious.
But you don't have the money?
We don't have the money to buy a tank.
How much does it cost?
It costs a lot.
Curious. $250,000? Can you get a used tank?
You know, this M16, it costs $5,000.
$5,000?
For this M16, yeah.
$5,000 is a lot.
Yeah,
but
it's a lot.
They charge you.
It's very expensive.
I see.
But, you know, when there is a need, then you have to pay.
Of all the Israelis, who do you hate the most, the settlers?
We hate the occupation.
The settlers?
We hate the occupation, whatever the occupation is.
Well, the settlers, yeah.
Settlers, soldiers, whatever. Yeah. We hate the occupation.
Mm-hmm. The settlers are pretty tough. They're very radical.
This is one of the main problems that we are facing. First of all, there is no civilian settlers. Settlers, it's part, you know, of this occupation, and they are occupying our land, and they are unarmed settlers. Then we are fighting against the settlers to leave our land. We belong to Palestine. They don't belong to Palestine. And I give you an example. If you go to see this settlement, you will find all of these settlers. They go to Tel Aviv, to Haifa, to all of the Israeli parts, you know. And they came to sleep just in the settlements. But for us, our work and our daily life, we spend it in our land. I will tell you another thing. We face an American pressure to accept settlements in West Bank and Gaza Strip. And this is why 65% of the settlers who live in West Bank, they are un-American citizens.
65%?
Yes.
Was Israel wrong to have encouraged the settlers to go into the West Bank?
Depends well. At places that were densely populated by Palestinians, it was a mistake, because we build a conflict. I mean, you better fight a desert than fight a people.
And I guess Sharon and people like that are impregnable. You can't get close to them. They have too much security. The political leaders of Israel, you can't get to them.
No, we can get to them.
You think so?
I think so. When they became as part of to be our targets, we can get to them.
Really? Because of money?
I will guarantee for you that we can get to them.
So most of your life you worked in intelligence.
Yes.
Israeli intelligence is supposed to be some of the best in the world, right?
I think these days they're doing a very good job.
Yeah.
These days, wonderful job.
Can they get into the PLO offices? Can they monitor that? Can they hear what people are talking about?
They're doing everything possible.
Yeah.
And without them, we would have much more casualties.
You're scared, right? Are you scared of the Israelis?
I cannot say I'm scared from Israelis, you know. If I'm scared from Israel, I'm not fighting, but I'm careful from Israelis.
Yeah. They have very strong reconnaissance. They have aerial, I'm sure they have aerial observation. So you're fighting a guerrilla war in the true sense of the word.
It's very clear, you know, that in this conflict, we are a weakness part. We are not the stronger part. But at the same moment, we are strong in our principles and in our faith.
Mm-hmm.
Our faith and our principles, it's pushing us, you know, to fight for our freedom.
What do you guys do during the day? I mean, you don't sit around your masks all day. I mean,
no.
You're planning, you live, you also eat, you sleep, you have...
Probably we will meet you during the day in a drink, and you don't know.
But in other words, you live fairly normal lives.
Normal lives.
Do any of you have jobs, in regular jobs?
Of course. We are normal people.
What is your relationship to Hamas?
We don't have ideological, you know, religious issues like Hamas. And we are fighting for a secular state, not a religious state. A secular democratic state.
So it's interesting, the people who are willing to die, bombers who are, you know, seeking martyrdom in a jihad where they go to heaven and a paradise.
It's honor. It's dignity.
We've got a big problem with the bombers. Because there are only few people who know what's going to happen. And it's very difficult to receive information.
Do you know, for example, is there a list, like who's the next bomber?
Believe me, the people, when they want to do this kind of things, you know, these activities, we convince them as much as we can not to go, not to do it. But if they were, you know, faithfully, strong, committed, then there is no other choice. Then we control the things.
Well, I mean, you go down, let's say
we are not born to dead. We don't want to send our people to die.
No, I understand.
It's not something
you're reluctant
to
do.
We want to do it.
Yeah. But you have a short list of people who are willing to do it. And you know that you can call on them.
Of course.
And prepare them.
There is a big amount of people who came as volunteers. You will never imagine nowadays how many volunteers.
50, 100?
I think more.
Wow.
We arrested a few bombers before they bombed themselves. We were lucky. It's about 7 cases. Today there are more. And I said, let's see and ask them, what could avoid them from going to this act of terror of bombing themselves? And some of them will say, if my parents' house will be destroyed, and maybe some of them will say, if I would think that my father will suffer, maybe I won't take part in this act of terror.
Hamas, who took the peace process off track.
Islamic fundamentalists group Hamas carried it out. 20 people died in the attack, only one other strike has been more deadly in the last 18 months of conflict.
Everybody knew that Jews were sitting around celebrating freedom, and they want to blow up our freedom, they want to blow up our religion and our existence. And no country can afford just to sit and by and watch this.
Who said?
There is.
I'm waiting in Jerusalem.
Let us call him.
Yeah, what do you say?
Leave tomorrow, as soon as possible. To Jerusalem and wait there.
Mr. Arafat is not going to see anybody.
Thank you.
Yeah. They said that we cannot receive anybody, and he said, I will call you back. That's
okay.
All I know. That's all I know.
For 15 years they have gambled on force, on intimidation, on war, on violence. Let them gamble on peace once.
If anything will happen in Ramallah, it will happen tonight.
Because of the weather, we may have a chance.
I got a call in New York. Bush is all over the place on TV, taking this personally. So this is Bush now has crossed over to the Sharon side of the equation even more. So if that's the case, I was worried that Sharon would take this to mean that he could go have full sanction and kill Arafat.
He didn't say this word, but that they said they would take action against the government, the Palestinian government, which is based in Ramallah.
Action against the compound would be the response. Destroy the compound. Mm-hmm. I say you stick, because something's going to happen.
Yeah, but they know
how to get the things. We don't panic,
No.
Let's sleep. Listen for the tanks tonight. Keep monitoring the TV. At the break of day at 6 o'clock, we might be able to get a story. Maybe we should get in the compound at 6 o'clock. Stay in touch with the minister. I say full court press, stay with the story, and be ready to pull out. But I don't think that's the issue. We can get out when we get out. I'm not worried about that. I'm worried about simply destruction. I mean, Bush and destroying that compound. And if they destroy the compound, maybe the Palestinians are going to fight back right away, so it's going to be a major firefight in the streets. That would be, which we should cover, by the way.
A short distance away, Yasser Arafat looking beaten but not giving in. He's meeting his cabinet now, an emergency late-night session. I'm ready for an immediate ceasefire, he said, but he didn't announce one outright.
That's the marathon session, went on for about 7 hours.
It lasted right to the end of his back. Probably not. The final decision will be made within hours by his old enemy, the Prime Minister, Ariel Sharon.
Sharon wanted to expel him.
Today? This is a policy from last night?
Yes, and he knew that he shall not remain in the government.
So if you can capture him, you would put him out of the country?
Sharon thought that this will limit his capacities to support or...
Where would you send him?
No problem. He can go to Egypt. Yeah, I mean, he has where to go. The whole Arab world.
Probably I would put him on his ship, the Karine A, that was previously loaded with 50 tons of weapons. Now it'll be loaded with sandwiches. Good fine drink. He's accustomed to good living. Put him on the high seas. Let him go wherever he wants to go.
I think it would serve him, not reduce his stature. He would be freer to give orders, to move around.
It'd be better for him to be back in Tunis or in...
Oh, yes, for him.
Is that why you're against the policy of isolating him and exiling him?
No, it goes further than that. I think we have to negotiate. In Israel, we know the real cost of peace. We try to deny it, to postpone it. We're afraid to open our eyes. But all of us know the price and that we should have to pay it. So while it looks today as an impossible situation, there are interventions from unexpected circles that will bring us to peace.
Hello.
I have to get warm. This guy's not easy to get to know. You know, he's a little fellow who's dealt with a lot of people over a lot of time, and he's struggling and scrambling all the time. He's like a rat on a sinking boat. He's jumping from plank to plank. It's hard. It's very hard to talk. Especially if he puts five guys on a fucking couch who are staring at me without a smile.
You know. Would be the third subject. Mr. Castro was the first subject. These are three people who have been lifelong rebels of the United States and against the New World Order.
We're supposed to have a private interview with the president.
Yes.
Please, would you go down?
Eventually, but. Hey!
Nothing new.
Well, you have your everything is packed.
Yeah.
I suggest that we bring staff down. Yeah. Because we don't know. I don't think we're going to sleep here tonight.
Who was
that?
Our friend is from the morning at the checkpoint.
What does he say?
No way out.
No way out.
Get in the van, please.
Now?
No questions asked.
I hate to be told. Nobody's telling me what to do.
Thank you.
I just talked to Noam. The Israelis won't guarantee any safe passage in any of the checkpoints.
You serious?
Basically, they don't care about us. They've got their thing to do, and...
That's what Noam said. This is our last chance.
In 2 or 3 hours, it'll be dark. Everything will be closed. So the only chance we have is to get those Canadian cars, go to the checkpoint, and basically push it our way out.
So, there'll be invasion to all those, like, all the cities.
Really? Bethlehem?
Bethlehem, Ramallah, Jenin, Nablus, Tulkarim. That's why we are really very worried. And my parents and his parents told us to live with you. But if you want to live with you, you cannot enter Tel Aviv or Jerusalem. And you cannot go back home.
What?
Bethlehem is closed military.
Now?
Yeah, so far.
Yalla. Okay, guys, let's start getting into the pickup truck.
Can I open the window?
This doesn't work.
What? No,
otherwise, it wouldn't be an armored car.
Oh, this is armored and armored?
Yeah, both of these are.
Oh, Sam, what do you do?
I work for the Canadian Embassy.
I see.
But these things aren't armored against tanks. That's... No. Just keep that in mind.
We are heading toward a tragedy, and I argued it before I was elected. With this inability to make the decision and cut this Gordian knot and disengage ourselves from Palestinians leads us into a tragedy. Since we are heading toward either a Bosnia-like situation or Belfast, namely two communities bleeding into each other for centuries without any solution, or into apartheid South African situation, none of them is congruent with the Zionist vision of establishing a Jewish Zionist democratic state. So it's an imperative, compelling imperative to disengage ourselves, to set a fence.
Like a Berlin Wall, you're saying?
Yeah, no, yeah.
The soldiers are hysterical after last night. Now, in addition, the Israeli army is gonna attack Ramallah in the next few hours. So this is like the hottest point right now, this specific checkpoint. And they have Israeli snipers on the hills all over the place. He cannot coordinate with them a movement of a Palestinian van. And whoever has a vest, please put it on. No, nobody? Yeah.
No. Shit. No.
In the chicken.
What are they waiting for?
They're waiting for permission to cross.
Who are they?
They're mostly workers, women, anyone, really, students going to university.
I want a job.
Karen.
It's Bihar. I'm in Sharon.
What's a good thing? That doesn't have any good thing.
I don't know. I mean, he's so insulated by his people. He's been doing it for 40 years. All right, Vincent, what have you arranged?
Should I?
A 2.5 hour wait on foot. They're not leaving. They're just, like some people work on this side and the other side. They have to wait in line until they're allowed to pass through.
I've already shown him the card.
You want to see the bag?
Aç hani kabeli şurma diplomatik.
Do you feel me?
Yes.
Do it a little less conspicuously.
There are two terrorists on. No, don't. No, not this one.
Leaders are tested at the end of the day. They're tested by their willingness to lose the leadership.
For the right willingness
thing.
To what?
To lose the position of leadership
right.
For the right thing. That is the ultimate and only true test of leadership. Whether you're willing to stand up for your values, the things you believe, and to risk failing. That's the test of leadership. That's what I hope the present leadership of Israel will demonstrate. That kind of leadership.
You really think Arafat can control every bomber?
No, I don't think he has 100% control over bombers, although 90% of the recent attacks that have been leveled against us have come from his own forces.
We saw Hamas the other day, or 2 days ago, and it was very clear that they don't take their orders from...
We're going to stop for a second, because on the hill, right next to this one, there's just been a bombing right now, and there are a lot of people...
Hill?
Yeah, well, it's not very far from here. If you just continue this road, 800 meters, on the continuation of this road. Abami, do we have any figures, anything? Any information? Ami, can you get it?
I heard something earlier, yeah. I thought it was a...
Yeah. Okay, this is an initial piece of information, so we don't know yet. No, there it is. There it is, it's beginning.
What's up there, a settlement?
No, everything is a settlement to them. This is a settlement called Jerusalem. It's a supermarket in Jerusalem. The primary goal of Arafat is not to establish a state, but to destroy a state.
We have to change, you know, the language and the message that you cannot make deal with the Arabs or you cannot make deal with the Jewish.
Right.
That is a wrong approach because people on the ground, the new generation, believe that this is a possibility.
Peace is not utopia.
No utopia at all. It's a possibility, it's not a dream.
N'arrêtez jamais d'expliquer ce qui se passe ici. Et essayer de faire respecter la légalité internationale et le droit moral des uns et des autres.
Ah, ça c'est très français, tu sais, c'est très pascalien tout ça. Well, the French are pascalians, what are the Spanish?
Yeah, the Spanish, I don't know, Don Quixote, no?
متراجع إنما على القدس رايحين شهداء بالملايين.
Toute la journée et les combats se sont poursuivis
président et autour du quartier général de Yasser Arafat à Ramallah.
ظل تحت قصف متواصل على مدى أكثر من 12 ساعة، فواجهوا الطائرات والدبابات بما توفر من أسلحة خفيفة حتى نفذت الذخيرة، ومنعت سيارات الإسعاف من الوصول لإخلاء الجرحى، كما منعت سيارات الإطفاء من الدخول.
في ظل هذا الحصار الخانق، ما هي رسالتك لشعبك أول شيء؟
هذا شعب الجبارين، الشعب الصامد أمام هذه العنصرية وهذا الإرهاب وهذا العدوان بكل أنواع الأسلحة الأمريكية. وهذا الشعب بقول لهم معا وسويا حتى يرفع شبل من أشبالنا أو زهرة من زهراتنا علم فلسطين فوق أسوار القدس ومآذن القدس وكنائس القدس.
Au centre-ville de Ramallah ce matin, un immeuble de 6 étages est en flammes.
القذائف الإسرائيلية التي تركزت على مركز النشا التجاري وسط مدينة رام الله استهدفت نحو 30 فلسطينيا كانوا داخل المجمع. المحتجزون أخرجوا مستسلمين وأجبرهم الجنود المدججين بالسلاح على الكشف عن أجسادهم قبل تقييدهم.
دمروا الكتب، نزلوا الكتب، دمروا الكمبيوترات،
كل
فأصدرت أوامر باعتبار رام الله منطقة عسكرية مغلقة أمام الصحفيين. وبعد تدخلات دولية عديدة عقبت تدهور الوضع المعيشي لسكان المدينة، سمح للمواطنين للخروج لساعتين للحصول على بعض الغذاء، لكن الشوارع التي رآها المواطنون للمرة الأولى منذ أيام دمرتها الجرافات والدبابات، كما دمرت مقر السلطة وعشرات من المباني التجارية والسكنية.
So what's going to happen now? What do you think will happen?
We will continue.
Good, that's all you can do.
We will continue.
Would you accept the 1967 borders?
This is what I'm fighting for. 1967 borders.
You would accept that?
Yes.
So Israel would have the right to coexist?
If I have a right to coexist.
If Palestine has a right to coexist. Do you think there's any hope with Sharon in office?
I told you, our problem is not Sharon. We are against the occupation.
Yeah.
If it's Sharon, if it's Peres, if it's Barak, if it's Netanyahu, we are fighting against the occupation. Whatever, you know, who came to rule Israel, it doesn't, I don't care.
I think it's dangerous to teach history.
It's dangerous to teach.
I think we have to educate our children to develop their imagination more than their memory. Yeah. We don't have so much to remember. And actually what we remember is how to forget. What do we really remember? This war and that war, who killed whom and why? History is basically written with red ink. It's a history of killing. Maybe there was a need for it, because people made a living out of the land, and people were fighting for the land. Today, when you live on science and technology, you don't need wars. You don't need killings. So I believe I would prefer to educate the children to learn the history of the future, not the history of the past.